I was going to present a story of the reunion of a young Jewish couple from Poland. It would have been a totally different subject to the one I'm going to actually give today. However, it did lead me to the subject that I'm going to speak about today. The particular story revolved around a young Jewish couple who were reunited after the Second World War by a span of something like 35 years of separation. I was led to believe that it was a true story, but have since discovered that it was a complete fiction and originally appeared in Reader's Digest in about 1954. And it then involved a Christian couple from Austria who were separated either by the annexation of Austria by Nazi Germany or by the Second World War itself in 1939. As I mentioned earlier, I had intended to present that story to show the abiding love and the undying love of a newlywed couple who were separated by war. And it was an entirely different subject that I'm going to talk about today, but it led from that deception that was brought to me at that time. And this is because of the injunction that we find from Jesus Christ to let no man deceive us. If we allow ourselves to be deceived by a story such as the one which I was going to relate, just think how easy it would be for us to be deceived by any other form of story which might be brought our way, on a far more serious subject perhaps. So in dealing with the subject of deception, we need to realise who or recognise who the actual deceiver is. The example I'm going to use today involves a man who never existed and yet played a vital role in the Allied victory in Europe during the Second World War. In 1943, the Allies were preparing to open a new front against Nazi Germany. North Africa had been completely cleared of all the Axis troops and units, and the only fact that the German High Command now wanted to know was where, in fact, the Allies would be landing in Sicily and the actual date for the landing in Sicily in 1943. Now, as a result, the German forces in Sicily were on high alert. They were fully aware that they were going to be the target of the next Allied invasion of Europe. And, above all, they were at maximum strength. Some way had to be found to minimise the effectiveness of the German military in order to rebuff the intended invasion of Sicily. And that would obviously help reduce Allied losses in the actual landing of the troops. Major William Martin was a man chosen for that particular job. Now please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4, where we will find the instruction from Jesus Christ to be wary, to be on our guard, because of the length some people go to in order to deceive, providing every conceivable fact and apparent evidence for the validity of what is being presented to us as fact. And this was especially so for Major Martin in 1943. Now here in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 4, we read the following. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, Major Martin was conceived in room 13 of the Admiralty. A full life story was formed for every detail of a young wartime British officer. Even his fiancée had to be convincing, and a suitable young woman was actually found and groomed for that particular task, because she may have had to give what might amount today to an Oscar-winning performance if German intelligence agents should actually find her. Now, even the manner in which Major Martin was to be handed to the Germans had to be considered. And that in itself added another problem. Major Martin needed a body. Hospital morgues were combed throughout the country to find a suitable person who had recently died having the physique necessary for a young British military officer. And eventually the right body was found. Flesh was added, so to speak, to the body of the plot. Photographs were obtained of the corpse in real life, and to which a fiancé's photograph was added. A love letter and other personal details were also brought together to be placed on Major Martin, so that it would appear that his personal effects would be convincing. On Major Martin's wrist, there was going to be a manacle, a briefcase, in which plans for an Allied invasion of Greece were placed. The Allied invasion of Greece, according to the plans, was the major thrust, whereas the anticipated invasion of Sicily was merely a diversion. Now, after everything was prepared, Major Martin was dressed in his military uniform, and say the briefcase was manacled to his wrist, and all of the documentation was placed on his body. Major Martin was then covered in ice and placed in a thermally insulated container. And that container was eventually taken down to Portsmouth, where it's placed on a British submarine. Now, the submarine sailed from Portsmouth to a position somewhat off the Spanish coast, where Spanish fishermen were often noted to be fishing. Now, when the submarine arrived there, Major Martin was released from his container. A Mae West life preserver was placed on him, and he was set adrift in the ocean in this vicinity of where it was hoped Spanish fishermen would be fishing very soon after the submarine left. Now, as I say, Major Martin was released from his container and set adrift. Would Operation Mincemeat bring the desired result? That was the name of the operation, Operation Mincemeat. Now, moving on to 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 13, we find a description of the world in which we live today. Now, I'm not implying that everybody is out to deceive us, but conspiracy theories have been shown, on occasion, to be conspiracy fact. So much so that we are encouraged to check out the source and reliability of all the information that we are given. And this is what intelligence services tend to do all the time. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, we read the following words. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The business of military intelligence is not only to spy on the enemy, but also to deceive the enemy. And this is what Major Martin had to do if the plan was to succeed. This was deception on a new level, a lie from beginning to end, with no guarantee of success. As hoped, the body was actually picked up by a fisherman and taken to the nearest mortuary in Spain. The British consul in the area was advised that the body of a British officer had been found and was carrying a briefcase. The consul then contacted London, telling them that the body of a Major Martin had been picked up and was in Spanish custody at the moment. That set the diplomatic wheels in motion. The consul in Spain was ordered to use his powers to ensure the body was handed over to the British authorities as quickly as possible, and that the briefcase was not to be tampered with in any way. The German agents in the area were somewhat surprised at the sudden flurry of activity. Why were the British so concerned? And what was in the briefcase? So, the Spanish took their precautions with their allies, and they began a post-mortem. Now, before the post-mortem was actually complete, a German agent actually opened the briefcase and photographed all the documents that the briefcase contained. And before the post-mortem was actually complete, the photographic images of the contents of the briefcase were on the night plane to Berlin. So why would I want to use such a yarn as this to bring this particular message to you? Or indeed, any story of a similar nature. The lengths to which intelligence services will go in order to convince of us any given fact, be it true or false, is almost unbelievable. As with Operation Mincemeat and the life of Major Martin, the intention was to deceive. We are told to be on our guard against deception, and now we live in a time which is just shortly before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Now, we expect certain events to take place, as described in prophecy, and although we may not fully understand the way in which those events will come to pass, we know that they are going to come to pass, and it's just the method in which they actually unfold that we do not know. Now, as I say, we know that certain events will come to pass. And in 1943, the German High Command knew that certain events were about to take place for the invasion of Europe. They didn't know exactly what or where. And today, some 70 years later, we hear rumours. We hear outright lies. We hear half-truths. Some speak of conspiracy theories. Some just shake their heads and move on, as if nothing was happening. Our adversary is not a mortal being with just a few resources. He occupies the throne of this earth, and his assistants are truly demonic. Now, say, in 1943, to the Germans, they had a problem. They wanted to know what the Allied plans were. So we move on now. And as we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we have to be very careful. It is not always possible to accept anything that we are given as being factual. A truth that the German High Command discovered after the defences of Sicily had been slashed by reinforcing the Greek invasion sites. Truth and error are all too often mixed in a way that results in people being led astray. And that is why that we find here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the following command, and we have to exercise extreme caution. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. The detail provided for Operation Mincemeat was total. Nothing, it seems, was overlooked. For us, we have to visualise the information that we are given, just as the German High Command had to visualise the information. We have to ask ourselves the question, what is the source of our information? Is it reliable? Is it truthful? Has it in fact come from a suspect source? Is our informant genuine? Deception sometimes involves innocent parties, and in that very deception. So, you know, it's not always obvious that deception is actually being utilised. There's an old English adage which tells us that all that glistens is not gold. And in this day and age, that is true of facts being presented to us from all sorts of strata of authority, including our friends and neighbours, and for all sorts of information. The story which I've given to you is perhaps a mild example, but it does give a number of pointers to show just exactly how careful we have to be. We have to be extremely careful before we accept something as being genuine or passing it on to colleagues or even friends in God's church. In conclusion, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And here we are told just who it is who is behind the lies and deception that we find all around us in the world today. So here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we read the following. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to be aware, to take heed that no man deceives us. Remember that evil men wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Because, and we have to remember to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary is walking around seeking whom he may devour. Remember, our foes are not of flesh and blood, and also that our adversary will make mincemeat of us if we are unwary.